Let's talk
relationships on You Me Radio.
So what are we talking about?
Marriage, dating, parenting, business,
and love, emotions, sex.
It's a conversation with me, Lady Misty,
and DJ KTE
on everything. From hot topics to taboos.
Join us Mondays at 9 p.m. live on UME Radio.
Follow us at Let's Talk Relationship Show on Facebook or on UME Radio on Instagram. Let's talk relationships. Arguments for the grown.
Get the UME Radio app to listen wherever you are. That is UME Radio. One word.
UME Radio. Positive entertainment 24/7.
Subscribe on YouTube and click the notification bell.
Hey, hey, hey. Good night.
Hey, Lady Misty in the house.
Hello. Oh, yeah. Hi.
How was your
day?
I'm
good.
I see you trying to rock it with the little tie thing going on there. A little, what's that? That's like a tiger kind. What's that? What's that spotty thing?
Yes.
Looks like a schoolgirl.
I'm looking like a schoolgirl. Good night.
Yes, I love it.
Good night, DJ KTE. I trust your Monday was good.
Yes.
Good night, UME Radio family. And welcome to another episode of Let's Talk Relationships. Thank you so much for joining us here on UME Radio. Tonight, our panel will be discussing the topic, the state of Black marriages, keeping up with the Joneses.
Yes,
and this is all out of the conversation around Bishop Noel Jones and Loretta Jones getting married 2 decades later. So that promises to be exciting. All right. So we're going to jump right into the our video of focus for tonight, and then we'll be right back with you. Good night, Apostle Faith. Good night. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for welcoming me.
Mentor.com shared this article. 9 relationships every pastor needs to be healthy. 1. You need an equal partner. A wife of noble character is her husband's crown. Proverbs 12:4. 2. You need a hero. A hero is someone you look up to. Someone you can draw strength from when you're tired or discouraged. And someone you can draw inspiration from and want to emulate. 3. You need a ministry partner. A ministry partner is someone who works shoulder to shoulder with the pastor, often with complementary gifts. A ministry partner is an encourager, not a competitor, with the pastor. 4. You need a preaching inspiration. Someone once said that we're a product of the 5 people we hang out with most. That holds for preaching, too. 5. You need a supportive board chairman. The main role of a church board is to be a support to the pastor. 6. You need a prayer warrior. Every pastor should have at least 1 faithful prayer warrior. 7. You need a friend. Proverbs 17:17 says, "A friend loves at all times, and brother is born for difficult times." Everyone needs a friend like this. 8. You need a mentor. A mentor is someone who has been where you want to go and is willing to help you get there. 9. You need a mentee. Moses had Joshua. Peter had Mark. Barnabas had Paul. Paul had Timothy. Bishop Noel Jones is finally getting married to longtime partner, Loretta, after dating for almost 2 decades. The website HITC.com reports. Bishop Noel Jones is finally getting married to his longtime girlfriend, Loretta. The pastor recently popped the big question to his fiancée. After dating for almost 2 decades, the couple is ready to move things forward. Although Bishop Jones or his congregation haven't released an official statement yet, the internet is teeming with videos from a recent celebration, where the pastor announced his decision to marry Loretta. At a recent event, the 72-year-old LA pastor announced on stage in front of a live audience, "I'm telling you today that I am gonna get married." He then invited his lady love, Loretta Jones, on stage to join him as he announced the couple's decision. The bishop goes on to say, I thought about should I give up my freedom coat for a straight jacket? He continued, I thought about should I, at my age, get married? A 12-minute clip was recently uploaded on the YouTube channel, Official King Jives, and sees the pastor getting down on one knee, with a ring in his hands, as he pops the big question and Loretta says yes. A look at the pastor's dating history. The pastor, who was a former cast member of Preachers of L.A., has had a tumultuous love life. In the past, he allegedly dated actress Lisa Ray McCoy and was also linked to Real Housewives of Atlanta star, Mimi Leakes. The rumors of his alleged relationship with Lisa began swirling around in 2011, while he was spotted with Nene back in 2008, before she appeared on Real Housewives of Atlanta. The pastor introduced the world to Loretta during his time on the show Preachers of L.A. The pair's relationship was a big storyline on the show. The pastor was previously married to a woman named Ruth Jones. The couple was married for over 20 years and share 3 children. In an interview, the pastor revealed that Ruth was older than him.
All right, so there we have some information and some background as to where the conversation will be headed tonight. Now, we want to let our audience know, our viewers, our listeners out there, that as we discuss this topic tonight and all the topics we discuss here on LTR, please know that this is not a judgment on this couple. We have no judgment here. We do not presume to know what goes on in their private life or their private relationship. We just want to explore the conversation. And of course, we want to hear your thoughts too as we take this journey tonight. And we want to know what are your thoughts as we discuss this conversation, because a leader should be questioned for the benefit of the community, because they serve indeed a community. So we have the right to question and challenge the decision of anyone that influence our community. It is important to know as well that this is not our intent to offer opinions or advice on how to live your own personal life. As I say each week I get here, do you, boo? Do you? So do your own research, be a free thinker, and make sure you're doing well in your own life as well. And know that we wish you nothing but love and happiness. So good night, Entrepreneurs Aloud. You are here. Good night. Good night, Travel Escapades. What a topic. You've been waiting for the topic. Well, here it is. So once again, welcome to the show. I am Lady Misty. And with me, I am here with my amazing co-host as usual.
DJ KTE. That's how we do it.
That's right. Good night, Satin Brownie. I see you.
And ladies and gentlemen, it is January. No, actually, no, it's February. That's what.
It is February.
2022 and counting. And the time right now is approximately 9:10, something like that.
9:10.
Yeah. So we're right about this. So, folks, we are in tonight for an interesting topic, as you can see. And yes, as you said earlier, you know, people that we consider to be influencers in our society, folks who are leaders and who play a certain role, they ought to be questioned and challenged, because what they do really affect the community at large. And it's something that I think is worth it to dive in and see, you know, how we relate to it and how we can maybe avoid it was something that's unhealthy. But again,
that's right.
You have to just kind of look at the narrative and make sure that we are being quite aware and mindful of our own lives as we watch others.
That's right. I'm happy that the audience is in tune with the topic tonight. And please feel free to drop your comments, your questions as we go through the discussion tonight. So with us tonight, joining us for the panel, we have Jessica Ray Bryant. She is a mom of 4. She is a minister of the gospel and a professional counselor. Yes. She is also the host of Soul Chat. an up-and-coming talk show integrating spiritual and clinical counseling conversation that, of course, helps us to thrive in our everyday lives. She was a guest on TCC and is often on INAW. Of course, joining her as well is Mr. Steve Lawrence. Now, Mr. Lawrence is an educator of 25 years. He is a husband to one wife, only one, one and only, and a father to 4+ children. He had dedicated his life to service of others, their growth and development. He is a conversationalist on relationships, leadership skills, and more. And of course, they are returning guests to LTR. So good night, lady and gentleman. Happy new week. Happy new month. I hope you are both doing well in your spaces.
Yes,
welcome to LTR.
Welcome. Welcome indeed.
Thank you for having us. Right.
You know, Lady Misty, I have my description of these people. I have my description, okay? So when I think of Lawrence, I think of a silent thunderbolt, you know?
Okay. I don't know if thunderbolts being silent, but okay.
Just very, very solid and just really have a word, you know? And when I think of our Jessica right here, because she's a returning guest, it's like you're walking down the street and someone passed by you with a very lovely perfume.
Ah.
And you said, "Who and what was that?" You remember that wonderful scent. It stays with you. That's what she reminds me of. Anyway, guys, I'm excited tonight to have you both.
Lovely, lovely, lovely.
And for a great discussion tonight, I believe.
All right, so let's jump right into it. Now, I'm sure you guys have heard by now or have been aware of the discussion around, Bishop Noel Jones and Lady Loretta as they, you know, take their leap into marriage life. And after two decades. So I just want to hear, you know, on the surface thoughts. What are your thoughts about the news when you heard it? What was your initial reaction to something like that? Just off the bat, just like, whoo, you just heard it. What was your initial reaction? Lady Jessica, let's start with you.
All right. And thank you so much once again for having me. It's an honor to be here. You know, when I first heard it, my initial reaction was, it's about time. That is exactly what I said. I said, it is about time. And it was just basically like he had been with this person for 20 years, like 30 years, I heard. And it had been a long time. And I was really thinking about the woman. And I was thinking about how long she'd been waiting for that moment, how long she'd been by his side, how faithful she'd been, you know, maybe believing that this was the man that God had for her. And I know that they went through a lot. I mean, we've seen maybe different relationships. She's been around for the different relationships that he's been in and all the transition that he's had to undergo. And so my whole thought was it was about time because, you know, in ministry, it's good for a man to be married if possible, if at all possible, you know, because he has that backbone, that stability of a woman. It reduces scandal. It reduces the temptation to go out and do things that maybe would defame the name of Christ. And so a man in ministry, he has to be called to being single. Okay. If he's not called to be single, he doesn't need to be. And so that was my initial reaction was praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It is finally done. Okay.
All right. Sir Lawrence, what are your thoughts?
Well, I hear what Lady Jessica is saying and I take points from it. However, want to play it down the middle a bit more. I'm looking at the age of the gentleman. And I'm recognizing that when younger people get married, they intend to start a family. Now, someone being on a second marriage 20 years after being married for 22 years, I get a sense of trepidation. I actually listened to about two interviews that he spoke about it openly. I listened to a sermon that he did recently. And I recognize that this man thinks out loud. He talks about being verbose, and he speaks. When he's speaking, he's actually thinking. And I think when we spend time with the six statements he made about himself and the four statements he made about her, we'll get a better orientation as to where they are in this journey. Because at this age, it seems to be more about companionship. And I understand that journey. But I also understand, having been divorced before and knowing the divorce statistics in the U.S., by the time you go around the second time, you're about 60% more likely to be divorced again. So I get his hesitancy. I get his trepidation. And marriage to the wrong person can be a fresh hell. And I have no statement or judgment about this, the journey he had with his first wife, Ruth. But I'm just saying, I get a man who is afraid. I hear it. And I am praying for them both.
Wow. I have my thoughts. Anyone care to hear? But that's a very important
I just have one question. I just have one question. But why 20 years? Like, why 2 decades? Like,
why? Lady Missy, if you think about it, right? Think about, as he was saying, he wasn't married before. All right?
Yes.
Right before. So as a male, there I can do some kind of identification with him being a male in this country. All right? Now, you think about as someone who feels a certain way, because I heard him in an interview some years ago, and he was talking about it was about how he feels about marriage and culturally how they have it in place, and he's like, he was thinking a little bigger outside the box in his way he feels about himself as a human being and how he wants to express himself, and he felt he would do himself a dishonor if he didn't express what he really feels, that inner sense of, you know, do I want to be someone with this solo kind of approach, or do I feel more than that? So I got a sense from that interview that he was saying that he's not at the place where he feels like he wants to flow with the cultural way of how people do things. You know, I got that from him. Of course, then again, I also saw that Noel Jones, to me, as I said, he getting older, 20 years later, I think a lot changed also in a man, you know? Some of those earlier, I think, natural drives that men have, it changes. You start thinking a little more, I think more companionship-like. Not so much of the raising, the family, the whole process of that. I'm not saying he didn't enjoy that, but I think just having this new kind of it's like it's a settle for him. It's like a settlement. It's like it's like a rest I'm getting when I see this story and just hear what's going on. I get that part of it as well.
I would love to hear, for me personally, I would love to hear from Loretta, because I would think that that's a whole journey for her. Like, personally, I ain't waiting 20 years on no man. You could be sent from Jesus. Jesus would have to talk to me personally and really talk to me personally, like talk to me strongly personally, to wait 20 years for a man. I ain't doing it. I would really rather go single, honestly.
Maybe she said
because
it, maybe
that's a lot of things to go through. I don't know. I haven't heard her side of the story, to be honest, so I can't speak for her. But honestly, you know, but the question I want to ask is, and this is a general question, as it relates to marriage. We've all here experienced marriage, and we have males and females here. So I want to hear from you. How long is considered too long?
Can I answer that one?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, you can. Okay. You can.
So I've got, I have the honor to counsel clients that have some similar issues that Brother Jones, Bishop Jones has had. And he, you know, it's been from a woman's standpoint. So ladies have been the ones that have been waiting on men. And I'm telling you, it is never easy for them. Matter of fact, some of them have been traumatized. They come in, they're like, oh my gosh, I've been waiting for this guy. It's been 10 years. It's been 15 years. Hmm. And the question in the counselor's mind is like, what's wrong with you? Of course, we can't say that, but it's almost like, what, you know, but there must be something. A lot of times either they know that they know that they know they heard God and they're just waiting for this man to make his decision because maybe he's had some previous trauma in marriage. And I think Bishop Jones mentions that. I think he actually was traumatized or there were some things that went wrong in his marriage. And I think he got like scared of marriage. I think he's like, I will never do that again. You know, I'm not having it. I'm going to be single so I can be free. Wow. And
well, Jessica, I hear you saying trauma. I'm sorry. I'm hearing you saying trauma and talking about, you know, you're scared. But I think the woman suffers in all of that, in you dealing with all of that. I saw Satin Brownie talk about, you know, waiting for the man outside of his life, not inside. And I think I agree with that. Like, if you are, you know, going through your process, you know, your process of healing. And I've never been divorced, so I can't really speak to that area of, you know, trauma and, you know, that process. I know it's a difficult one, but I don't think you should hold somebody at ransom. I don't know. I feel like it's holding the woman at ransom because the expectation, and I know they've probably had discussions about this. I know that, you know, and the waiting. But I think, you know, in dealing with you, in going through your process and in dealing and going through the trauma, don't have me waiting. Like, that's just me. Like, don't have me, like, that drawn out kind of thing. It's either gonna tell me, give me a little break, and then, you know, we'll see what will happen. But don't have me waiting in the space. That's 20 years we're talking about. Come on.
But let me think about it, and maybe guests can try and chime in here. Maybe who would tell that they might have had the conversation that he doesn't want to get married again. Maybe that was had, right? And maybe they were okay with that kind of arrangement. You know, I mean, he's a man who communicates well, I think. So maybe they had in mind, listen to me, I'm not interested in that anymore, but they might have found something unique about the way they dated or the way they were friends. Because I heard him talk about friends, one of his past interviews. So maybe he probably was surprised himself that he came to this point of saying, hey, I want to maybe cross this line. What do you say, Steve or Jessica?
I'm listening. One of the things that jumped out as I listened to Lady Misty was the whole bit of choice. I don't see relationships as a prison. Relationship is something you choose to be a part of. As a matter of fact, when I met my current wife, we simply agreed on the principle of reciprocity. But we recognized that we were responsible for what we were going to build together, what we were going to do together. I see two people who were prepared to be friends even if they were not married. That's my, with the limited information that's available to me, that's what I'm picking up. One. Two, he stated, I think it's the second or third point he made, he was saying, boy, you know, one, why would he's wondering why he should be married to somebody that young, and he's also wondering why she should not have found a younger suitor. But now he has put that aside and he's going to do this. Yeah. And as you said, I find him to be somebody who communicates quite clearly. This is phenomenal. So it doesn't seem as if when he speaks, he tries to be evasive. He seems to be very straightforward in sharing. Because what I heard, the honesty and the vulnerability, some people might think of it as being aloof or One person I asked about it said he sounded a bit narcissistic. But having gone through a divorce before, having known that is the most expensive and the most painful thing you can ever endure, apart from the death of someone you love, you get the understanding that there can be some post-traumatic stress tied to the whole experience, one. And also, we have to understand, since this is not young love, it's not infatuation, these people seem as if they were prepared to remain friends, even if marriage did not end up on the table. So I don't think it was a case of her suffering in waiting, because she had choice. She's obviously is an attractive woman. She's appealing to not only him, I suppose, and if her interest lay elsewhere, she could have pursued it. So I'm not seeing any victims in this one. This narrative doesn't strike me as anybody being victimized.
Okay, Jessica, I broke your train of thought. I hope you remember your statement.
You know what? No, I wanted to just comment on what Steve just said. I agree to some extent that she's not a victim because she had every reason to walk away many times. Most women would not have stayed around for that. Now, it is appealing to be a pastor's wife of a church that size. So she probably had a little incentive, you know, to stay around. It's like, okay, let me see what this guy is going to do. And so that if he was any regular run of the mill guy, she probably would not have. But because of his status, it's like, let me see what this guy is going to do. And so she stuck around. She wanted to be Miss Faithful. I think she knew that none of the women that he was dating, none of that stuff was going to work out. That they weren't cut for him, that they were just in it for one thing or another. But she loved him. She has to love him. Let's not ignore that. That woman loves him. Some heart. They love each other. And I do agree that it was an agreement like, hey, I'm not ready to marry you. Do you understand that? She probably said yes. And who knows? She may have been dating herself. She may have been also experiencing some relationships we just don't know. So I think that she's not a victim. She was not just helpless and waiting. Oh, my God, he won't marry me. He won't marry me. And she made a choice to stay. She made a choice to stick it out and just to take care of him. Even I heard that even when he was dating other people, he was still coming to her and seeing her. And they were talking like friends, just like Steve mentioned, just like friends.
So it looks like she had a hold on this man. Because, you know, I've heard this before, that the woman who really makes the choice is not the male. The woman is the one who actually makes that choice, ironically. But, you know, as I look at this scenario here, what do you think it does to our community? What kind of message do you think it rings? Or our narrative it opens up for the Black community to start thinking differently about marriages and ministry, and what do you think about the ramification of this right now? Because they're not married yet, and sometimes people do plan to get married, and it doesn't really happen, right? Because this and this and this. But as far as what's been stated so far, how do you think it affects the Black community, you know, in a psychic kind of way?
My two cents on it is I look at the age of the people, and you recognize that your audience is going to be mature. So this is not a group of influencers doing something for the bang. These seem to be people who are aware that their actions have far-reaching implications. We have, as a people, some of the lowest marriage rates and the highest divorce rates ever. So anything that's trending in the up, I take it as a positive indicator, because they could choose not to. Because the data would suggest that we're three times less likely in some instances. Mm-hmm. So the initial step is a positive. As a matter of fact, there's a niche market that it gives hope to, because you have a lot of older people in the faith. They have gone past their 40s, some past their 50s, some past their 60s, and would really like to be married, would like to have companionship.
Interesting.
You know, and that gives them hope. So I am seeing a story of hope. And to be honest, if I saw a victim here, I'd be extremely concerned. But I genuinely saw people who seem to enjoy each other's company. Mm. I recently said to my wife, because under COVID, I discovered something about myself. I didn't recognize I could spend a couple of inches apart from somebody for such a long time. I realized after a while that my wife is actually my best friend. Wow. Now, I've had many friends throughout my life, but I've never had anybody around me that I could stand 24 hours a day for 2 years. Wow. That was different. And they seem to be the kind of people who enjoy each other's company. And at the end of the day, at their age, even though there's a margin there, companionship is really about the ability to coexist peaceably in a mutual and shared environment. And they seem to have the recipe for that. So I'm not overly concerned. I actually see positives coming from this.
Hmm. Jessica, your thoughts?
You know, the impact on the Black community, to be 1,000% honest right now, I'm not impressed with the way that the man of God did things. I would say he definitely was traumatized. Okay. I think that he has some baggage and he like really did not want to get married again. And he probably just wanted to date around and see what he liked and think. I don't think he had a chance to do that. He got married, I think, to his first wife at the age of 20 or 19 or something like that, very early. He didn't even know who he was. And so I think he went straight into ministry and not a full man. I think he was spiritually developed, but his manhood, who he was as a man, I think he was still figuring that out. So the divorce, I think when that happened, he really said, I have to find myself and I need to get me together and I'm not marrying a woman until I know who I am. And maybe it took him all that time. Now, I'm not saying that he probably shouldn't have married her a little bit early. I am saying that there may be some selfishness. Okay. There may be some of that, like, I don't want to be in a straitjacket. I mean, there's some mentalities that were in the way. His thinking about marriage is a problem, in my opinion. Why are you trading in a Lamborghini or whatever he mentioned for a Volkswagen or a station wagon? Why does it have to be a straitjacket? The way that he depicted marriage is not positive, in my opinion. It's because it's not that. It's not that at all. And that was his mentality, which he shared with us. But that should not be the mentality of the Black community as a whole. Marriage is a beautiful, wonderful, blissful experience when you marry the right person. But I think he was afraid of yoking himself with Loretta and it be like a straitjacket, essentially. Well, what he said. So I think it was all about how he thought about marriage and he projected that to us and he explained that to us. But that's not the truth, in my opinion.
Interesting. I believe we have some comments here. We'll look at those comments. See what some of our...
Okay, I see you, Steve. I see you burning with a response. Well, let me just read some of these comments. Satin Brownie says there is no thought of how he feels about her in his statements. Hmm. She also said, and his comments thought there wasn't much thought of her in his comments, giving up jacket and all. Hmm.
Wow.
All right. I could have appreciated, I love this woman, I'm thankful for her, and I am finally confident now to marry. All right, so choice of words. All right, so Mr. Lawrence, I see you. You want to say something. I can see it on your face.
Yes, no. So I listen to Jessica, and I hear the story of bliss, of marriage being bliss. And That's a narrative you get when you watch cartoons. That's how little boys and little girls are told that marriage will look like. The boy needs to find a horse and ride it up, and the female is going to be rescued. And those are some of the narratives that have been reinforced throughout our development. But until you have actually embarked on marriage, where two separate lives that coexisted before now are trying to be enmeshed, and then the real conversations start to happen, and you have to journey together, and you have to keep pace with each other to stay together. And those complexities, I honestly think this is one of the most honest conversations I've heard about marriage. I'm almost so happy that day that he was so open and public about it. Because what it means, this conversation gets to happen. We get to unpack it, others get to unpack it, and we start having non-fairy tale discussions about marriage. Because marriage is work. Marriage is means that I'm going to have somebody tell me the truth about me, even when it's uncomfortable, and I will not leave. Marriage means I will be patient while somebody works through the challenges, where some of it, they inherited it. So for example, a person who is born to alcoholic parents, they will have a high leaning towards substance dependency.
True.
Right? That was not something they signed up for. That is something given to them by epigenetics, right? Mm-hmm. Now, if you understand that people can get things inherited, whether genetically, nature, nurture, it means that when you're in a relationship, what you're creating is a safe space for both parties to heal. What I heard him saying to her is, I went through some stuff. Some of it you saw while we were friends for 20 whatever years, and more of it will come after we meet. And I'm genuinely concerned that you could have found other suitors who were younger, because based on my rough calculations, he's in his early 70s. It means that he's past the point where he's past his peak. So he's saying the next step will be she pushing him in a wheelchair. So he's trying to kind of, it's a conversation that forces the maturation, saying, is this a journey that we're both prepared for? Because if he didn't love her, he would not have been so honest. As a matter of fact, most older men are looking for a nurse to trap, right? So they'll find a younger partner with the hope that the person will take care of them. This person is having a discussion that this may become the reality in the not too distant future. And I find it very sobering. I actually commend him for being so honest and open, because somebody that's visible, it will be easier to fake it and smile for the cameras. He's genuinely wrestling with the journey ahead, because it means that he has some unprocessed pain from his past marriage, his divorce, and he's honestly reflecting on it and wondering, is this a journey? Because guess what? Up to the point where you get married, you think that that person is perfect. It's after the marriage that you start to see that the proximity changes and you start seeing the cracks in each other, and that's when it gets real. So I think this was really mature, really transparent, and I am happy it will spark so much dialogue and discourse that has really not happened about marriage, because we tend to think it's a fairy tale.
You know, Stephen, that's an interesting point. You made some interesting points. I heard Jessica said something earlier I want to hit on. And I heard they love each other, but I think that she loved him, and I think that you were probably surprised that she maintained that love for him for so long. I mean, women do have that power; they really do. And I think that probably blew him away. Like, with all he's been through, with all this up and down, in between stuff, this woman is like there. It's like, what is this? I could see that. You know, and of course, you know, women, as they say, they got the goods, they got the stuff, they really do. You know, they know how to put it down and let a grown man cry, and go on a knee, and say please. You know, but I'm hearing a story where, I like Steve said, he's getting older, and I think no matter what, there's something called reality, man. Reality do set in, you know, it really does, and to have that kind of, I would say, foundation of someone like that, I mean, that's unique. That's something that you kind of want to not give up at all. So I think that's where he's at. It's like, wait a minute, I've done it all. You know, I've had the accolades, I've done the preaching, I've done the family, I've done the kids, I've, you know, made the money. But this woman here is like a whole different experience for him, I think. And I think he just can't go any further. That's it. My hands are up. I give up.
I have a question, though. Like, I'm listening to that statement, but I'm like, that to me, and this is to me, y'all, okay, I don't know. I think that to me, it sounds a little bit out of fear. Like, are you getting married out of fear of being alone?
Who knows? I mean,
that too is a wrong concept. Like, I don't know. I'm having internal battles with this with this discussion. No, no, all right, because we can only speculate, we can only assume, we can only, I mean, we have the limited, we don't know the depths and, you know, the width of their relationship and what they have been through over the decades. But to me, based on the, I hear what you're saying, Steve, and I've listened to the conversation, I've listened to how he expresses himself. I remember listening at length at his first interview where his divorce was concerned. He was saying, you know, ministry caused my divorce. I was so yes, engulfed, yes, and immersed into ministry that it took away from my marriage. And being myself married to a minister, I really listened to that conversation. You know, in that context, now he's getting married again, and I'm listening again to all the narratives and all the expressions. I don't know, I'm sensing that he may be getting married out of fear too. I hear what you're saying, DJ KTE. I've gotten all of the accolades, you know, I have a well-established church and all of that, and with all the dating and all the going around and so on, and hey, I'm getting old and I don't want to go down the hill by myself. So the issue I'm having with that is, if you know, if you're getting married out of fear, and this is just my, you know, thought process, to me, it's my thought process. If you're getting married out of fear, to me, that's still being selfish. You know, with all you're saying, you're loving this woman and all of that, that's a little bit selfish, because you are still, quote unquote, straight jacketing me to take care of you. You know,
can we agree that we all are selfish in some ways or the other?
True, yes, I have to agree. That's true,
and sometimes also good selfishness, too.
That's true, too.
Yeah,
that's true, too. Well, you know, it's as Steve said, I love the fact that this has happened, because it really opens up the diverse conversations and the different thought processes that people have. And as a community looking on, especially the Black community looking on, we know us Black folk, okay? We got opinions on everything, right? But it's good that we you know, dissect this in our own way. And while we don't know about them, because they're doing them, we have a conversation on how we view marriage and how we view how Black people ought to see marriage. I really, as somebody who is married, it takes work, right? It's not a fairy tale. And like Steve said earlier, you know, what suits me may not suit you. So, you know, it's a whole...
It's a lot. It's a lot.
Okay, it's just a lot.
Yeah, I tell
you. It's a lot. But I am happy though. I want to ask a question. I know Jessica speaks a lot to spirituality, and you know, and Steve as well. I want to hear from you now on the spiritual side of things. How a conversation can benefit persons in Christendom, persons of faith, how a conversation like this, how this action, you know, how do we, you know, in Christendom dissect in a good way, a positive way, from this experience. Good night, Jenna. I see you.
God bless your page. Jenna, yeah, I'm with Lady Misty, huh? Taking sides, huh? Okay, I got you.
Oh, we just talking here. All right. So, I want to hear, you know, from a, you know, a faith based, a spiritual aspect, how one would look at it in your own thoughts.
Go ahead, Jessica. When it comes to being in Christ, when it comes to being in the Word, we cannot look at things the way that the world looks at them. You know, God has a whole handbook about the way that he wants marriage. Like he has basically laid it out to us. And if you're in Christ, you have his Spirit. And the Spirit is supposed to teach you all things that you don't know. We know that he said, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for the church. So man is supposed to depict himself right after God. And how God treated the church. You're loving, you're giving, you're covering, you're nurturing. You know, you're going in with a mission. You're going in knowing that God is your head. You're going in to bless the woman, not to be a straitjacket. You're going in to add value to her life. You're going in to make her life better, not to make it worse, not to be served, but to serve. So if somebody has the mentality that I'm getting in this to be a blessing to this woman, I'm getting in this to nurture this gift, this jewel that God has given me, then he's going to have a whole lot less problems. He's going to conduct himself with a whole, just so much better. They'll be so much better off. Your wisdom, the knowledge that you have before you enter into marriage is everything. And so oftentimes we, especially in the Black community, we've not seen good fathers. Maybe we've not seen good marriages. Maybe some of us have not seen the best people emulated on television. And so we have a limited understanding when it comes to like natural role models. But if we look in the Word, then we'll see God's heart for marriage. We have to derive all of our understanding from there, not from what we've seen. If we go by what we've seen, we're going to mess up. We have to go by God's ways. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Read books. If you don't know how to be married and you don't know what a woman needs, you have to study to show yourself approved. That way you are not going to damage God's jewel that he has given you. She's a treasure. She's not something that you trample on. She's somebody, she's a gift. How do you treat a gift? Carefully. You shine it up, right? You spoil it. You treat it. You nurture it. You listen to it. You're romancing it constantly. If you look at it from that vantage point, you will be after God's own heart. God will be able to minister to that woman through you, and life will be, like I said, blissful, but it's work. It is work.
You know, if I'm going to say this real quick, and that's very important, some important thing to you mentioned, Jessica. You know, I always hear this thing about Christ and the church and man and the wife, and the church are all being pruned by Christ. Now, when you're pruning something, you're clipping away that tree. Mm. Not very pleasant. Always not very, not this nice, shiny thing that I'm trying to see. I'm seeing work. I'm seeing like, oops, no, that hurts. No, we don't want that. But it needs to happen anyhow. So I think we take out the real essence of the growth and development of that marriage or that woman and just make it all shiny and lovey and pudgy. And I think that sometimes we can get it all balanced. But I do hear the conversation. The thing, though, is that, you know, this woman here, I don't see her as being voiceless, as I'm hearing in one of the comments. I think she's a very smart woman. Probably because she see what maybe other women didn't see. She probably know this man so well and just know that, hey, maybe she's okay with it. She's okay with not having the ring. Who knows? Maybe she's not even that particular about it. But maybe what they had was so unique. And it does happen. There are people who say, listen to me, there's a person I knew, whether it was a cool school friend or a certain pastor or a certain, there was something that was so unique about that relationship that just worked, whatever it was. It wasn't about the years. It wasn't about the weeks. It wasn't about whether it's winter, summer, spring, or fall. It wasn't something that was very unique. And that's about what we've seen, you know? That's my thoughts on that.
Yeah, I agree. It was something unique. Go ahead, Steve.
Yes. I like where you're coming from, DJ KT, because I'm not someone who's given to fairy tales. I really don't do fantasies. I see life as very practical, and I see that it is best for us to prepare our people, our listeners, our viewership for the work that needs to go into relationships. One of the things that came out of COVID-19, with the extra time I had at home, I decided to learn farming. And I tried to grow many crops. And what you find out as a farmer is that it's hard work, it requires time, you have to put in more than you even expected. And that's how you get the harvest you desire. What I find out is that what you do not fertilize and take care of, you lose. So whether it's male or female, we both have to go into it knowing we're going to nurture and support and love on each other. Mm-hmm. Going into it thinking that it's going to be transactional and a man has a role to play, and if he's not playing this role, I'm gone, already sets you up for disaster, because both parties need to recognize we're in this to scaffold and support each other. There are going to be days that are horrible days for the female. There are going to be days that are horrible days for the male. Last week, I was going to work with my wife. We're driving in the car discussing something. Someone called me, and she knew I was up until like probably 4 a.m. doing a paper I needed to submit. And after the call, she said, "My darling, don't take any more calls today." Now, that was her way of saying I was sounding a bit abrasive. I was not being my usual wonderful, smiling, happy self. And it was a mood thing, a tiredness. I was under it. And she understood that even her wifely role would change during that time. She may have had other plans. She probably wanted us to have lunch that day. But she looked at it and said, it would be best if we went home early and I got some sleep. Wow. And those are some of the practical things that marriage will require. And I think these two have journeyed long enough as friends for them, if they choose to have a successful marriage, to have it. The challenge, though, is being very public, it's very difficult to have successful relationships that are public, because human beings are susceptible to human statements, and you will allow others to control your narrative if you're too public a figure. So the best thing they can do is keep it nice and tight and just do their marriage. Not a marriage for the world, but really a marriage of each other, supporting, scaffolding, and just being the source of maturation, because that is one of the main things of marriage. It's to mature you. And let's see how this one plays out.
Well, folks, that's a great way to segue into getting things a little closed out here. We're just about to the end of this program. Lady Misty, I see you shaking the head there. I see you with a smile. I must say it was a smile.
I agree. Yes, I'm listening to Steve, and I agree. It's always a pleasure listening to these two lovely people, you know, because they're always dropping gems at some point or the other.
Yeah.
Yes, but I do agree. You know, as I won't lie, when I heard the news first, I was like, 20 years, no, the black woman in me came out. Okay, the black woman in me came right out.
Yeah, but now,
you know, that's why it's so good to have conversations, because you see things from different perspectives, and listening to Steve and listening to Jessica, you know, thinking about these two persons being in it for a long time, and we don't know, you know, the dynamics behind the scenes, but I'm very happy that we opened this book tonight and we had this conversation. I want to say thank you so much, Jessica, for coming back to us and for gracing us with your presence. Thank you so much, Steve, for your usual depth. You know, when you speak, we do appreciate it, and we hope you come running again when we call you because it's so nice to talk to you. It's so great to have conversations like these with people who, you know, understand the assignment, right? And so we are happy that you came on.
Putting out there right now that both of you, I'm expecting to see much more of you in the future, much more of you both in the future.
That's right.
Keep your phone close to your waist.
That's right.
Wonderful.
See, Steve understands the assignment, right?
Yes. Awesome. Please tell us
what thank you so much. You were a great guest. Thank you so much for engaging and engaging the conversation with us tonight. For all those who chimed in over there on social media, all those there in UMI Radio Land, I want to say thank you so much too for joining in the conversation and giving your two cents. Once again, this has been Let's Talk Relationships. It was a great topic. We'll see you again next week. Thank you to all our sponsors, our listeners, our supporters, those who continue to support this great work. To my co-host DJ KTA.
Yes,
it's always a pleasure.
Oh my god, always a pleasure. And anyone who wants to reach these two individuals, you can also contact us, please, and we can get you to them. But we do thank you for joining us here tonight. You guys were absolutely spirited, engaging, and we're excited. DJ KTE and Lady Misty is on the roll. 2022, we're coming, and we're coming strong. Thank you, guys. See you next time on LTR.
Yes, make way for Bible cufflinks and stilettos.
Yes, here we go.
And now for today's spotlight. UMI Radio was originally founded in 2009. Back then, it was called Advanced Media Production. After winning first place in the Jamaica Broilers Fair Play Awards, the company ceased operations around 2012. In December 2018, the company was rebranded and brought back into operations with new ownership. And in February 2019, it launched its first radio station, UMI Radio, under the call sign WUME-DD New York. UMI Radio is a digital radio station owned and operated by UME Digital Media Inc., a digital studio and multimedia company headquartered in Bronx, New York. Our brands are committed to inspiring, educating, and entertaining people through transformative and empowering content. Our mission is to reach 1 million households, touch 1 million lives, and showcase 1 million brands. Get the UMI Radio app for the full experience, available via your Apple and Google Play stores. If you want to listen on the web, you may go to app.umeradio.com or via our website at www.umeradio.com. Our content can be watched on Carib Vision. You can also listen in via Amazon Music, iTunes, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Google Podcast, Podbean, TuneU, Live 365, Spotify, Stitcher, Player FM, Listen Notes. For all business inquiries, contact us at info@umeradio.com. This station is 100% community funded. To support us, please visit umeradio.com/get involved. Subscribe on YouTube, Instagram, and everywhere online at UME Radio. Thank you for supporting us. UME Radio, positive entertainment 24/7.
Did you find this information helpful? Please let us know. And if you have a topic on your mind, which you would like for us to talk about, do not hesitate to reach out. Email us at ltransers@gmail.com. For access to resources and additional information, please sign up free at our support website, www.familyalltheway.com. If you need help, connect with Dr. Faith Walters at www.familyalltheway.com/therapy-with-Dr.Faith. Get the help you need to develop and maintain strong, healthy relationships. Thanks for watching.
Underneath it all, who are we sexually? Bible, cufflinks, and stilettos, with Giselle St. James. Monday nights at 10 p.m. For mature audiences only.
tribal cufflinks and stilettos. As you know, I am your host with a lot, not the most, a lot, Giselle St. James, your author, your counselor with a whole lot of social work in her background. I am here with you tonight, so excited to be here with you. And we are going to have a great show, I am sure. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm here with my glass of wine because we're going to get down to business. Yes, we're going to get down to business. So I want you guys to make sure that you come on in, get your friends, get your spouse, get everybody to come in and come here to listen to what tonight's show will be about. Remember, 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 you are here with us live on Mondays, every Monday at 10 p.m. And we are talking about ways to enrich that relationship that you have going on. And as you know, as you've always said, sex is not the end all be all of your relationship, but we know that it enhances it. And we know that sometimes sex can be a big factor as to why there is marital or relational breakdowns. And we want to hear on Bible Cufflinks and Stilettos to help you to get that spice back, to infuse some of what we're doing so that you can own your sexuality and also help to enrich your relationship with that physical intimacy that we are trying to put across here on this show. Remember, you're here with us, coming every day, every Monday, I should say, and you may be lucky to have your questions answered and just hear yourself getting a nice little shout out. So guys, remember, we always make sure that we have our little self-check and our prayer. So we're going to go into that because we have a lot to talk about today. So for our self-check tonight, remember, ensure that you are somewhere where you can breathe easily and that you can relax because we are going into our self-check session. So, ladies and gentlemen, out loud or in your head, I want you to breathe deeply in and breathe out. Breathe in and breathe out. And I want you to say, I am relaxed. I am excited for what this show will teach me about myself and how it will help me to appreciate my partner. I am ready to share with my partner in more meaningful ways so that we can enhance our physical intimacy. I am ready to ensure that I own the sexual being that I am. I will share, I will ask questions, and I will do whatever I can to make this session a fulfilling one. Ready? Are you ready? All right. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, if you have any questions, if you want us to keep on talking, if you want us to address some of your concerns, please reach out to familyalltheway.com. And also, you can email us at info@familyalltheway.com or family@uneradio.com. Tonight, we are back again with our guest from last week, Mr. Robert Anthony, and we will be going back into the topic, are we raised to value sex? Are we? Come on. We're going to reason together tonight, and I want you to make sure that you join the conversation. If you find this information useful, ensure that you share the video, comment, like, subscribe, and don't forget to click the notification bell so that you'll always get alerts as to when we go live again. Once again, we're going to bring in the Holy Spirit into our midst, and we are going to be praying. Lord, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for all that will be done. Oh my God, I pray. pray that the insight that we will receive from tonight, that Lord, we will be so excited to share it with our partner. And Lord God, I am even declaring right now that richer, fuller sexual, physical relationships will happen as a result of this show, Lord God. I even now pray for all the marriages that this show will help to save as a result of what we discuss. Thank you for our guest tonight and the mind that he has and the wisdom that he will be imparting tonight. In the mighty name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
So, are we raised to value sex, really and truly? You know, last week we had a very rich and fruitful discussion, Robert. Yeah. And, you know, we talked a lot about really and truly us being sexual beings. That's how God designed us, yeah. You know, with the whole Zakar and the Kiva. That is who we are, you know, the pierced and also the what's that word?
Phallic.
The phallic, right. Come on, we're learning. So, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to get back into it because we want to know, as people, why is it so hard for us to have the conversation, Robert? What is it that makes the conversation of sex such a hard one to have with others?
Again, I just think it's in societies where religion tends to be a dominant force and not necessarily relationship with Christ or with the Creator, but more so where religion tends to be at the forefront, the practices, the do's and the don'ts and all these kind of things. Now, to be fair to the church in particular, there was a period of time, even in the early part of the church's formation, in the Bible days, when sex was a liberal thing in societies, mm-hmm. right? If you read through Paul's epistles, and epistles are called letters of occasion, so there would be a particular localized issue within a church or a church's society. They would send a messenger to Paul or write a letter to Paul saying, how do we deal with these things, or Peter or the other apostles? And then they would respond to these issues in letter forms. Again, some issues are localized issues. Some issues are issues that were happening then, and these letters can instruct, inform, reproach, add reproach to the lifestyle, correct the lifestyle, chasing the lifestyle of a Christian. So we see in the Bible that there were temple prostitutes as early as in the book of Genesis. We had temple prostitutes where one man went into to be with his daughter-in-law thinking that she was a temple prostitute. Her husband had died. He had sent his son to get her pregnant, and she hadn't gotten pregnant because the son would always pull out whenever it's, you know, whenever he's about to ejaculate.
I was so surprised to see that in the Bible,
as
by the way.
Early as Genesis,
True.
Now, in the time of the church was formed in a Greco-Roman society. If you watch one of these Roman shows, I think Spartan is one of those shows that show this raw approach to sex.
Public sex, temple sex,
all that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. In the book of Corinthians, we are told that one young man was having sex with his father's wife.
Mm-hmm.
So here we are seeing this culture, this sexual culture that was a public thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was immoral.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So the church throughout history went in through different times where they're trying to reform sexuality. The times of the Puritans, the times when sex became almost demonic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? And sadly, it affected marital sex within the church. Because if we are going to come so hard against sex, it's as if we have forgotten to tell people that marital sex is to be enjoyed, is to be enjoyed.
And
by,
it's good.
It is good. It is to be enjoyed by image bearers.
Yeah, yeah.
That is how it was formed. God created Adam, created Eve. They were image bearers, and God gave them something that they could enjoy while carrying out their kingdom mandate to replenish.
Mm-hmm.
But because it was such a dark thing during the fetal stage of the church, and Paul had to write about these things. We even see where it became a mark of holiness, where if you're called to an office in a church as a priest, then you should not get married. You should deny yourself sexual.
No sex,
And that for me is a mark that even marital sex at some point in the church's history was frowned upon. And we have seen varying kinds in societies, varying kinds of what they call sexual liberation, which is not really liberation, because liberty without restraint ends up to be very, very, very damaging to people. And I think the church has not recovered from that. We have not sanctified marital sex for people.
And you know, we find that all of these things coming from Genesis, going into the church at Corinth, and all of those things, it permeates our Christian society. So we find that even the thought of that three-letter word, it has so many things surrounding it. We don't even want to utter it very loudly. We find that there it carries with it a sense of shame. Yet in the Bible, when, you know, Adam and Eve were naked, they said, and they were not ashamed.
Yes.
So you find that even in that time, they were owning the sexuality, but because you own it, sometimes you abuse it.
Yep. And again, you know, I think that's where balance comes in. There's something that I won't open up because I won't have time to properly unlock the what's behind it. But one of my first grapplings in seminary with a philosophical statement was this, that all truth is God's truth. And there are societies unlike our own that I believe God has given certain aspect of sexual truth, where sex is seen as more an enjoyment of each other's spirit through the physical.
Wow. Yes.
And the Bible, it is biblical. You will become one. Again, we touched on it last week, where we are not teaching people, single people, what it means to become one with your partner. When you get married. Yes, we only demonize that again. If you get married to somebody, then, you know, automatically, if you have sex with someone, then automatically you're going to develop soul ties. Can I tell you that it's not soul ties, it's who you intentionally tie your soul with? Because I know people who are married and they have no soul. They have not intentionally giving themselves to each other. So there's not that soul bond.
Yes,
it's not an automatic thing. Nothing in life that is beneficial is automatic. It has to have some level of intentionality. These things are not spoken from the I've never heard again on a Sunday morning this speaking to the general congregation about the sacredness of marital sex and the pleasure that beings who have reconciled their relationship with God can enjoy. Yes, so two individuals who have reconciled relationships with God, spirit-filled people can come together and have an amalgamation of spirit at an intentional level, and therefore enjoy the natural pleasures or the physical pleasures of sex.
Wow.
And there are societies. And this can be spoken of on the pulpit on a Sunday morning. Why?
That's right.
Why? Are we going to push young people to go and have sex if we reveal to them the truth of what marital sex is? No. I think in our effort to combat sexual immorality, we have lessened the importance and the pleasure, the goodness, the honor of marital sex.
Yes. You know, a person is in the chat about from One More Ministry. The question is there. She says, is sex considered a ministry? And, you know, with you talking like you have been talking about the fact that we have not been talking about this from the pulpit, we have to also consider that. Is sex considered a ministry?
All right. So I've done conferences where I've gotten different speakers to come. A speaker that I've been going after for a while. And nailed him down, but then something just happened that he wasn't able. Is Dr. McLean, who is a Christian and a sex therapist. Yes? Now, if we can understand that in the very same way we can speak about counseling, and a lot of times marital counseling touches on the surface but doesn't go deep into sexual preferences, sexual compatibilities. One of my favorite speaker, Noel Jones, said, and he was speaking from his church context, that if a woman knows, that she has dedicated her body to ministry and has made a vow of being a eunuch for the gospel's sake, she should leave a man who is very, very sexually expressive alone. Because that is some kind of, something is going to happen that is going to destroy the marriage. Is sex a ministry? It is a ministry within one's marriage. I would say. Yes, because ministry begins at home. And when you are, when you have come together as man and woman, before children come into play, your ministry, primary ministry, is what is happening at home. It is getting, making sure that the three things, PMS, power, money, and sex, are taken care of in the house. Money and sex are things that destroy marriage. The power battle, this unwillingness to submit, and you know, this pendrift thing, and also the inability to satisfy one's partner. And both men and women are guilty of treating sex slightly. Okay, we come together and we orgasm, therefore sex was nice. No, there is this lack of intimacy that can still happen in a sexual relationship, even when physical climax has been achieved.
And even in the marriage.
Even within the marriage. And if we, if the church begins now to start to, again, reform sexuality and sex from the biblical perspective, spend a 3 months going through Songs of Solomon without making it spiritual.
Yes.
Because this is not an allegory of Jesus and the church. I don't care who told you that, your pastor, your theologian, whatever. Go and look at it. This is a man speaking about his emotional life and his bond to a black woman. His bond to a black woman. And if we unlock that book as it is, God gave us this manual of intimacy, of one's soul yearning for the soul of his companion and her companion as well. And if
he, and the way that he talks about her body, and man, it is so beautiful. It is so beautiful.
And if, but we, again, the church is guilty of treating sex, though we speak about the spiritual aspect of it, we speak about that meaning in a negative way. And we are guilty of treating sex as if it is only a physical act. And we are, we are robbing our young people when we don't educate them to look forward to a time when they can become real soulmates. And again, it is who I decide to mate with on a soul level. And I can be married and still withhold that, but the church isn't telling me how do I do that. And sex, when we begin to speak about the intimacy aspect, the mating of the soul, so my mind is stimulated, my heart is stimulated, my will is stimulated for my partner. When we begin to do these things, then a whole gamut of experiences can be unlocked.
You know, I'm seeing where Trevorpreneur's Escapades says, I think the church speaks of it like it is not essential, not crucial, not such a big deal. Do you think this is true, Robert?
It is true. It is true. I don't want to get into any trouble, but I oftentimes tell people that the thing that I can't experience with a woman legally outside of marriage is sex. The only thing, really. I have very, very good girlfriends who are almost my, well, we are brothers and sisters. And I can call them up, we can talk, we have very deep, intimate relationship without sex, without anything sexual. I can become a business partner with a female and we can make money together. We can have so many different things together and not enjoy sex because we're not married. When I've gotten into a marital relationship, it is what Paul says, that I am bound to this woman and I should not withhold sex from this particular person. It is essential. Paul said it is so important that if you are going to fast, you should ask for permission and don't fast for extended period. Yeah. Lest you deny your partner of sex so long that you invite varying kind of things into the marriage. Quickly, there's something I wrote this 2006 to some married friends of mine, right? And I don't know, I don't remember how it came to me, but I was observing the marriages of my friends and I saw what I told them, the seven deadly sins: pride, envy, gluttony, lust, anger, greed, and sloth. This is in my email and somehow I came across it this week. I looked at Hannah's situation in Genesis. Hannah and, well, Leah's situation in Genesis, and their wives that I find are similar to Leah, who are crying out for intimacy through sex. True. And when this came to me, I sent it to my married friends and I said, listen, look at how Leah named her children and listen to her cry for her husband in how she named her children. Yes? So in the first child, she says, it is because the Lord has seen my ministry. Surely my husband will love me now. Mm. That was what she named. She named her son a particular name because she wanted love from her husband. The second child, now at last, my husband will become attached to me. Her husband, she's yearning for attachment to her husband.
Wow.
Because I've borne him three sons. Then God has rewarded me for giving my maidservant to my husband. So she saw the favor from God for giving something to her husband. So she wanted some other kind of reciprocal relationship with her husband. I wish I could unlock this, but I know we are almost out of time. And she also wanted honor. Genesis 30:20. God has presented me with a precious gift. This time, my husband will treat me with honor because I have borne him six sons. Listen to a married woman crying out. And she was using sex. Remember?
Yes.
This wasn't artificial insemination. She was using sex.
Mm-hmm.
As a crying out, a calling out.
Yes.
I wish we could. Yeah, but so yes. I know we're out of time.
Right.
But I said that to some married friends of mine because I was just observing their relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked them for forgiveness because I'm a single man. I was a single man and I didn't want them to think I was presumptuous. But there's so much from that Genesis situation that I saw with Lee. I don't know how it came, but I believe it's by divine revelation. God just revealed that to me.
Yes.
It is necessary.
Yes. And, you know, as you talk about necessary, I want to bring up what Satin Brownie said. She says they need to have a sex ministry, for crying out loud. Sex is real. Sexual desires are real. And it is so, so true. We cannot negate the fact that we are sexual beings. And with being a sexual being, we have feelings. We have those desires that we need to channel in a right way. And the church is there to help us to channel it in right ways. It cannot just be that sex is wrong before you're married.
Yeah.
Cannot just be that.
And
go ahead.
There is something that men's ministry and women's ministry can do that can save and aid marriages.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things, and it's not just that men aren't familiar with the vagina and the whole sexual organ of a female, is that even some women are not familiar with their own organs.
So true.
And if you're going to go at having a sex ministry, we must ensure that it is in an environment where the sex education can be taught from a biblical perspective, but also respecting that there is a physical aspect to it. And the nerve endings in the clitoris are
many.
We have to unlock this for the husband and for the wife so that they can learn to appreciate these things and how God created them. To enjoy sex.
Yes. And I think a big part of valuing sex is reading Songs of Solomon.
Yeah.
And I would really and truly challenge all couples, and I don't want to just put that Christian couples, any couple, even if you're not married, once you are in a relationship and you have gone to that part where you are joining together as one, even if you are not Christian couples, you're in a relationship and you're having sex, read Songs of Solomon, because sex is not just this.
Yeah.
Sex is not just that, ladies and gentlemen. And if we are going to value it and teach our next generation to value sex, we have to start at that point when we're reading about how, you know, this man appreciated his woman. And I'm not talking about how he appreciated her sexually, but he looked at an intimate part of her, all parts of her, down to all are here.
Yes.
Down to all are here. He so put it in such a way that it was so intimate. And from that, you get a lot of things on how to really value your person and value them sexually and value them also intimately. So I thank you, Robert, for joining us here tonight. It is always so quick as a start up with a whole lot of things, time just done. But I really want to thank you for joining me here tonight. You know, we have a whole lot more to talk about, other things, other areas of sex and intimacy that we need to talk about. And I'm sure this is not the last time that you'll be on my show.
It was a pleasure.
So I want to really, really thank you. I'm sure that, you know, One More Ministries, Go Inspire Jamaica, Satin Brownie, Travel Premieres, they're all thankful that you have been with us these past 2 weeks to drop knowledge, because you really and truly drop some knowledge on us. Really, really and truly drop some knowledge. So ladies and gentlemen, remember, if you have something for us to talk about, if you want a question answered, make sure that you email us at info@familyalltheway.com or family@uneradio.com. And if you need support beyond this show, ladies and gentlemen, please check out our family empowerment program at familyalltheway.com. It has been my pleasure to steer you with this conversation tonight. Thank you so much for joining us. I hope that you were inspired. I hope that some of these things that you have heard us talk about tonight, that you will take it home with you and that you will talk to your spouse about these things, because this is important. It will help to enhance and enrich your relationship. So I'll see you next week. Same time, same place. I want you to have good sex as the Lord ordained. Have a wonderful rest of the night.
Did you find this information helpful? Please let us know. And if you have a topic on your mind which you would like for us to talk about, do not hesitate to reach out. Email us at ltranswers@gmail.com. For access to resources and additional information, please sign up free at our support website, www.familyalltheway.com. If you need help, connect with Dr. Faith Walters at www.familyalltheway.com/therapy-with-Dr.Faith. Get the help you need to develop and maintain strong, healthy relationships. Thanks for watching.